Welcome back, sisters. Look at us just moving through John chapter 8. We are going to be doing John chapter 8, verses 12 through 26 today. Jesus is going back to the Pharisees and, of course, dealing with all their religiosity and just giving them truth that they don't want to hear the whole way through. And sometimes we come up against that same personality, don't we? But Jesus is going to show them that he is the light of the world, and he is giving them the truth about who they really are, children of the devil. And oh, they don't like hearing that. I hope you enjoy this verse-by-verse lesson. Hi, family. Welcome to God's Word Transforming Lives. Are you wanting to learn the Bible verse-by-verse, one letter at a time, with real-life application? Then this podcast is for you. My name is Amy, and I have been teaching the Word of God to women for over 15 years now. I came out of some trauma from my childhood, and it left me feeling so empty. And after searching high and low with everything the world had to offer, I always came up short until I learned the Word of God for myself. And it was in that I became transformed. So if you would like to be transformed by God's Word, then stick around and let's do this together. Did you know that I have a study guide that I have written, sisters just like you, who really want to know the deeper things of God, who want to understand God's attributes like love, God is truth, God is righteous, he's just. What does it mean that he's omnipresent and omniscient? And what does that mean for you personally? When people talk about Jesus and being justified and sanctified and to be redeemed, and how can you apply it to your daily life? And so many other questions, like, can we really trust the Bible? And who are we as man? Is hell real? These are great questions that we need to know the answers to as we are walking in our Christ-like faith. To love him is to know him. And Jesus said that we will be worshiping him in spirit and truth. And it is the truth that sets us free. So if you want to go deeper in your walk with God and have more understanding of the things that he has truly done for you and know more of the word for yourself, I highly recommend this study guide. I will have a link for you in the show notes on where you can get it. It is on Amazon, and it's called Equipping the Saints. I hope this episode blesses you.
Verse 12. Now we're going to go back to the Feast of the Tabernacles as if this story is no longer here, because it's kind of like we have to actually kind of act like it's not here, because we need to go back to where Jesus is in the temple, where we left off from chapter 7. We're now going to go back into the temple again, where they're all at for the Feast of the Tabernacle. They're still in the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacle. And Jesus spoke to them again and says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I need to set this up for you. Remember, we're at the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. The reason why they're doing this feast is because they're celebrating what God had done for them back in the wilderness. And so they're celebrating the water from the rock. They're celebrating the fact that they led the Israelites by light. Remember, fire by day and a cloud that was lighted up by, fire by night and a cloud that was lighted up by day. And they would follow that intently so they knew where to go in the wilderness. Okay? Now you got a picture of the temple. Remember, they have those, they put the tents up, the temporary tents up, and they have the light, the lanterns all lit up with the oil. And so the city is just lit up at night for the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, inside the temple, they have all these candle operas, and it's just all lit up. There's light everywhere. And it's in honor of the light that they followed in the wilderness and the light of the Messiah that was to come. That they're still believing that their Messiah is to come. And so here's Jesus standing in the middle of all this. Remember, Jesus loves to do that. He loves to work with what they're working. Remember the woman at the well? She's trying to get water, and he's going, I'm the living water. Come after me. You'll never thirst again. He likes to use that. So picture Jesus. He's in the temple. Lights everywhere. There's thousands and thousands of people celebrating the feast. This is their favorite feast of all the three feasts. And here's Jesus. I am the light. Remember the seven I ams where Jesus declares himself I am seven different ways. And if you don't have that, it's on hashtag be the church. It's pinned in the files. This is the second one. I am the light of the world. Now, what he's saying there, he's looking at them and he's saying, this light that you're celebrating, I am he. I am the Messiah. I'm the one that led you by night and led you by day. Jesus has always been. He's not a created being. He's God. And he's saying, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me, you, how you wanted to follow that fire by night and fire and follow that cloud that was lighted by day to you knew right where to go. So you'd walk in that perfect obedience to God and be right where he wanted you to be in the wilderness. I am that light. Follow me. Obey me. And if you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You'll no longer be dead in your sins and in your trespasses. Now, remember, he's dealing with Pharisees and Sadducees that know the Bible. They have like 1/3 of it memorized.
Right.
When he says things like, I am the light, it would have taken them back to some of the prophecies, Isaiah 60, 19 through 22, Isaiah 42, 6, Isaiah 49, 6, where the Messiah was prophesied that he would be the light. He would be the living water. Remember, we talked about that when he talked about being the living water. But then he'd also, I'll be the light. And so they would have automatically gone back to, he's taking them back to the prophetic, the prophecies of the Messiah. I am he that you've been searching for. I'm him. I am the light. And so they would have understood what he was saying. They would have completely got it, more so than we get it today. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. They're mocking him.
No.
Now remember, two or three witnesses, right? And we've already been down this road. Remember in John chapter 5, they accused him of the same thing. Where are your witnesses? So he gave them the witnesses. If you go back to John chapter 3, he was like, first of all, John the Baptist is my witness. That's witness number one.
Right.
He's like, but I don't really need no man to witness for me. Right. So I'm going to give you one better. How about the Father? The Father is a witness for me. When I got baptized, he come down and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He the transfiguration on the mound. And then he says, my signs and wonders are a witness to you.
Right.
And then my words are a witness to you. Because remember, they said, we've never seen anybody teach like this. We have never seen anybody who knows the scriptures the way this man knows them. And yet he's never spent a day in discipleship. He never spent a day under the Pharisees learning the word, but yet he knew it better than anybody they'd ever heard in their whole life. Remember when they sent the officers last week to go and arrest him, and they couldn't even arrest him. They come back and the Pharisees are like, where is he? And they said, we've never met anybody like this. We've never heard anybody teach the way this man teaches. We've never seen this kind of authority. We've never seen this kind of compassion. We couldn't arrest him. And so he's like, I've given you those witnesses. They already knew they had the witnesses, but they like to, you know, Pharisee spirits love to play games. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I come from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. They were blinded. They couldn't see the Messiah standing right in front of them. They couldn't see. I mean, he just told them in John chapter 5, 7 different ways where he is God. He told him, I just gave you 7 attributes in John chapter 5 that can only be ascribed to God. And I just told you I have all of those 7 attributes. Therefore, I must be God. Yes, he's fully man, but he's also fully God. And yet they're so blind, they can't see it. And who do I think of when I think of this? Jehovah Witnesses. Take them to John chapter 5. Let's just go there, Jehovah Witness. Let's just show you where Jesus is God. No, he's a created angel. He's Archangel Michael. When you're blinded in your sin, when you're blinded to the Jesus of Scripture, even when it's right in front of you, you will not see it. Jesus is standing right in front of them, the Messiah that they've been longing for, that they were told about, that they studied, they spent their whole life studying, is standing right in front of them, and they can't see him.
That's so crazy.
But we have that today. Jesus is right here. He's in the scriptures. The Bible is so easy a 5-year-old can understand it, yet so deep theologians will debate it their entire lives.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something, it's so clear to the believer because we have the Holy Spirit who inspires it. who's enlightened it for us, who teaches us. And they don't have that. It says verse 15, you judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. Now what he's talking about here is Jesus, the first time he came not to condemn the world, but to save the world, right? And yet if I do judge, because we know, remember in John chapter 5, that's actually one of the attributes that he ascribed to himself, that he's going to be the judge on judgment day. When you stand there on judgment day, it's going to be Jesus. It's going to be Jesus, and he's going to judge the world. Now, if you're born again here today and you're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, you will not be judged for your sin, but there is a white throne judgment. You will be judged for your works here. You'll be judged for what you did with the gift of grace that was given to you. Our works will be judged here after salvation. Now, works do not save you. Don't get it twisted. But a true born-again believer that's saved by grace alone and faith alone in Christ alone to the glory of God alone will proceed good works. You'll be a transformed life that then desires to do good works. Verse 16, and yet I do not judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. When he uses these statements, he's declaring himself equal with God. We are one. Now this is considered blasphemy. Now why was Jesus taken to the cross, apart from the fact that he came to die on the cross to reconcile the people back to the Father? Why did the Pharisees nail him to the cross?
They believed it was blasphemy
because of why? He said he was God. Because he put himself equal with God and said he was God. So here's the conclusion. As we've been going through the Gospel of John, and John wrote this Gospel specifically to prove the deity of Christ, to prove that Jesus is God and that he is the Messiah. Amen. Okay? That's why he wrote this Gospel. Period. Right? So throughout this whole gospel, John's been setting this up. So when we're done with the Gospel of John, you can only come to one of two conclusions. Either Jesus is God, he is who he said he was, or he is a liar and he deserved the cross. If he didn't say he was God, then they wouldn't have crucified him with that particular law that he broke. They would have said, well, we're going to crucify you for stealing bread. We're going to crucify you because you had of adultery. No, they crucified him. His charge was blasphemy for putting himself equal with God. So either Jesus died and is God, was God in the flesh, or he's a liar. And if he's a liar, I've said this before, pack your Bibles up and let's all go get drunk. Because there's no blood for your sacrifice, for your sin. There's no sacrifice for your sin. So what are we doing here?
Right.
Because you can't come to any other conclusion. Because Jesus can't be a liar. He's sinless and he's perfect. So he couldn't have lied. And yet if they crucified him for that charge, and he's not a liar.
Come on, baby.
There it is.
Not blasphemy. Okay? He didn't lie.
Right. So he's going on saying, he's saying, I'm one with my Father here. It is written, verse 17, also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, because he's God. Yep. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's God the Son. Yep. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Yep. When they said to him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. You don't know us. That was such a smack in the face.
Bam!
Now, he has said this to them earlier, and I think it was John chapter 5 that he said it to them, or 6, where they didn't know the Father. And we've talked about this, on how much of a smack in the face that would have been to a Pharisee who spent their whole life memorizing Scripture, wearing their big phylacteries. Remember, look how much Scripture I have memorized. Look at me. I'm so holy, right? And so for them, just because they thought they knew God, they're like, we know him better than anybody. And so for him to look at them and be like, shh. And remember, he said this last week too. And he's like, you don't know me. You don't know me.
Right.
And he's saying it again. You know neither me nor my Father. Because if you had known me, you would also know the Father, my Father. You can't know the Father if you don't know the Son. And you have to know the Son who was revealed in Scripture, not the Jesus that you want to follow because it's easier. You can't follow the Jesus that some man told you that that's who he is, the Watchtower Jesus,
right?
The Book of Mormon Jesus, right? The works Jesus. Well, you can only get to heaven through works. It's not by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's the Jesus of the Scripture. And there's so many articles out there now, and so many YouTube videos, and so many false teachers, that you can find anything that will tell you that Jesus is somebody that he's not, and they'll make it sound really good. Remember, in the end days, the deception is going to be so strong that even the elect, if it were possible, will be deceived. That's how, and we're getting there, you guys. We have more false teachers and false prophets today than we do true teachers, I promise you. I promise you. Just go to any YouTube site. Start looking up articles. We have very few true teachers anymore, and we have more false teachers and false prophets. And so you have to be in your word for yourself. You can't even take what I'm saying here tonight. You need to go back, and you need to study your word. You have to.
Amen.
And one of the things that false teachers love to do now is they like to dishonor or devalue our church history.
Right.
If they can get you to question what we've always believed to be true through the Scriptures, then that's how Eve was deceived. Did God really say? Does the Word really say? Does it really mean that Jesus is God? Was he really? If the enemy can get you to start questioning those things, you're on the road to deception. Remember, we need to be rooted in the Word of God. We cannot be tossed to and from every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
We need to be solid in our Orthodox Christian faith.
Amen.
On who Christ is, where our salvation is, according to the Scripture.
Right.
And so, verse 19. Then when they said to him, where's your father? Okay, no, sorry, verse 20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Now they were angry. He's declared, putting himself one with God again. Now he's telling them, you don't even know God again. You know, he's putting himself as the Messiah, calling himself the light of the world. Remember, we're only 6 months away from the cross at this point. At this point in the Scripture, we are only 6 months away from the cross. And they want him dead. They are so over Jesus. He's got a mass amount of followers at this point. Even people that used to worship the Pharisees are now starting to turn. He's starting to get some believers where they're like, oh, I think he is the Messiah. I think this God, I think he's real. I think he's true. And we start to see people starting to believe. And this is really angering the Pharisees because they're losing the power of the people. Because what's it all about for the Pharisees?
Power and
money. Money and power. That's all they care about. And then Jesus said, verse 21, and said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. We talked about this last week, because Jesus said it to him last in chapter 7 too. That you'll seek after me, but you're not going to find me. The Word talks about finding God, why he can still be found.
Yes.
Talks about today being the day of your salvation. Now here he's talking to the Pharisees, and right now as I'm sitting here, there's twofold here. One, the Pharisees are still seeking him because now they're in hell and they know fully who Jesus is.
Amen.
And they would give anything. They give anything to go back to this day at this moment in time and put their faith in him.
And that just so sad too.
And there's going to be billions of people who are going to be in the same place wishing that they had believed the gospel, that they had searched the Scriptures out for themselves. There's so many churchgoers that are deceived now in America. But here's another thing that we talked about last week. The reprobate mind, the hardened heart, the strong delusion. There's going to be people who profess Christ. Maybe you go to church. You can do all kinds of things, but you don't live a transformed life. And holiness is not, you're not about holiness. You're not about following. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And you know what God will eventually do to you? He'll put you over to a reprobate mind. He'll harden your heart. 2 Thessalonians says, you refuse to believe the truth, I'll put you over a strong delusion. You'll think you're saved. You'll come to church every Sunday. You'll do all these things, but you don't know me. And you know when you'll find out that I put you over a strong delusion? Judgment Day, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. When you don't only call me Lord once, but you call me Lord twice. And then you tell me all the things you did while you were here on this earth in my name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you.
Ooh.
And he didn't say that only a few were going to come to him on that day. He said, many, many church-going folk are going to come to me on that day.
Scary.
And because you refuse to believe the truth of this word, you refuse to believe that you're to go and sin no more, you refuse to believe when Jesus said, crucify your flesh, pick up your cross daily and follow me, die to yourself daily, walk by the Spirit, go and make disciples, go and live out the gospel. This is not your home here. Stop living like it is. Stop looking and acting and living like the world. Come out from among them and be separate. You didn't believe all of that. You believed your pastor or another book or a YouTube video. I don't know what you believe, but you refuse to believe the truth. So God said, I'm going to put you under a strong delusion. And in that day, you're going to call him Lord, Lord. And you're going to seek him that day. And you're not going to be able to find him. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And the biggest, the strongest angel you've ever seen in your life, could you, Hollywood couldn't even depict it, is going to grab you up like a rag doll and throw you into the pits of hell forever. I'm not trying to scare you, but I am. Because salvation is serious. Repentance is serious. The gospel is serious. And people are dying and perishing, believing that they're saved when they're not. I thought I was saved my whole life, but even as an adult, for like 16 years.
Right.
And you know, not one pastor came to me and said, I don't think you, can we talk about your fruit for a second? I'm concerned for you. You're living with your boyfriend. You're having sex outside of marriage. No, you know what they did instead? They let me dedicate my baby to the church and they baptized me in water and sent me home with the boyfriend fornicating.
Wow.
And that's just one story. For 20 years, I was in churches and no one told me. They all winked at my sin and made me feel like I was good because I said a little prayer and I go to church and I pay my tithe, so I must be a Christian. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? So they're like, are you going to commit suicide? Now, in the Jewish tradition, suicide was considered the most heinous sin that you could ever do. They actually had a tradition that you went to the deepest, darkest pits of hell. That is a tradition that is not in the scriptures, although we value life, right? But we're not going to get on the topic of suicide. So he says to them, verse 23, we're almost done here. You are from beneath and I am from above. You are of this world and I am not of this world. You know what he's saying to him? Then you are children of the devil.
Yep. Yep. Straight up.
You, the devil is your father. Mm-hmm. You are in the devil's army. This world is where you are. And the father of this world is Satan. And
yeah,
you're his.
And
this is who you're. That's who you're working with. That's who you're a part of. And he's saying, that's who you are. You're not with me because I'm not of this world. And saint, if tonight you're saved and set free, you're blood bought, you're not of this world.
No.
You are a foreigner here. You are a sojourner here. You are just an ambassador here representing another kingdom. Your home. Just like we have ambassadors all across the world representing America. They represent our values. They represent our democracy. They represent us. We are here representing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we're not part of this world. We don't come. This is not our value system. This is not our moral system.
Amen.
We are only, we got marked out from the foundation of the earth to do a job here. And that one of those jobs is to walk in holiness. to walk as obedient children, representing a holy God. Now, that's not a self-righteous spirit. See, we got to be really careful with that self-righteous spirit. I'm of God. I am holy. I can't hang out with the world. I can't go out there and mingle with a stripper. No, yeah, I need to. I have to.
Right.
How else is she going to know the good news?
Come on.
We have to have compassion on the world. They're doing what their nature tells them to do. They're sinning. And you all were once them too. And if what if nobody would have came and told you about Jesus? So we have to go out there. We have to be willing to get out there and lovingly talk to the sinner. And tell them that there's a better way, that there's a new kingdom, there's another kingdom coming with a new king.
Yes.
And that they can be set free.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Let's go right now.
Our sin nature causes us to be sinners from birth.
Yes.
But that sin grows in us, and then the enemy comes in and takes advantage of that. And depending on what you went through in your life, in your childhood, in your adult life, depends what kind of bondage you're in. Yep. He's saying, you're from the world. You guys don't know me because you're from the world. And guys, we're not from this world. And Satan is no longer your father.
That's
if
right.
You've been born again here tonight, you truly receive the regenerated work of the Holy Spirit. You've repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ with the evidence of a transformed life. Then you were bought out of the slave market of Satan. That's what redeemed means. Redemption means bought out, paid the price, taken out of the slave market of sin, and now put into the slave market of righteousness, where Jesus is now your master. No longer Satan. So stop living as Satan's your master. Why are you so easily controlled by him and his minions? He disarmed them at the cross, according to Colossians. He made a spectacle of the enemy.
Amen.
And took every one of your sins at the cross there. And so if you're blood bought, why are you still living in defeat?
Amen.
Stop it. Stop making excuses for your sin. Verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am
he,
you will die in your sins. Listen, you can believe in the name of Jesus and not know the real Jesus.
Amen.
Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, they talk a good game. And if you don't know your word, they make it sound really good. They make it sound really good. And they profess Jesus all day long. But they're not the Jesus of the scripture. Jesus says you have to believe that I am he. You have to believe in my name. Remember 2 weeks ago? You have to eat my body and drink my blood.
Amen.
Literally abide. He has to abide in you. You have to consume him.
Amen.
They thought he was talking about cannibalism, remember? He's like, right. No, you need to consume me. I need to abide in you. And it has to be me, the Jesus of Scripture, the one that is being presented to you. Not one that is made up in your own mind or some lie some false teacher told you about Jesus that made it sound really good because they changed the Greek and they changed the Hebrew, or, oh my goodness, that comes from paganism and the Catholics did that and that's what. No. Yeah, I mean, there are some things Catholics did in our paganism. We won't go there tonight. But there are some traditions, of course, that we have bought in Christendom that are from paganism or are not scriptural. That's why you need to know your Bible. So verse 25, and then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. From John 1:1.
That's right.
He is the Word, and the Word was God, and he was with God, and he's from the beginning. I was not created. I am God. I've been trying to tell you this for 8 chapters. 8 chapters.
They're not getting
that he is God, and that he is the Messiah. The hypostatic union. They're not getting the hypostatic union. These are our orthodox essentials. Those are, when we don't agree on the essentials, we have to divide. There are some things we have to divide on. because we can't serve two different Jesuses.
Nope.
Verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Jesus is not a liar.
Amen.
He's proven it through his teaching. He's proved it through his signs, wonders, and miracles. John the Baptist declared it. The entire Old Testament prophesied about him, and he fulfilled every single one of them. Right?
Amen.
And that's where we're going to end here tonight. And next week, we're going to talk about what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ.
Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word really is alive and active, and it is transforming our lives in ways that sometimes we don't even realize moment by moment. But the more that you just pour your word into us by your Spirit, over time we can see the transformation in our lives. And it is truly beautiful. Thank you for leaving it here for us to read, to learn, to grow, to be challenged, to encourage with it. And so, Father, I just pray for each and every one of my sisters. I pray that they continue to have a desire for your word, a desire to know you on a deeper level, to have that intimacy that we can have with you that's been afforded to us. Father, I pray, Father, for their needs to be met, God. Whatever it is they need, Father. Lord, whatever it is they're going through in their daily lives, the battles, the sufferings, the trials, the tribulations, God. I know that you are walking with them, right beside them, and sometimes you're carrying them as a burden just seems to be too much. Thank you that they and I are in the palm of your hands where nothing and no one will snatch us out, God. I thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that has covered our sins, has redeemed us and reconciled us, and that you are coming back for us. You left the guarantee inside of us. You left the deposit, which is the Holy Spirit. And that is a promise that you're coming back for your possession, which is us. You bought us with a price. And that's why you'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you. Thank you for getting us through this. Continue to conform us into your image. Continue to grow us and change us and use us for your purposes, Lord. And Father, I ask for every obstacle that is in the way to be removed, Lord, whether it be health, whether it be finances, whether it just be work challenges or family challenges, God. Help us, Lord, to continue to endure until the end. Thank you so much for each and every one of my sisters, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Until next time. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If it has blessed you in any way, would you give me 30 seconds and share it with a friend of yours? One more small little favor, if you would, head over to whatever podcast source you're listening to this on and give me a 5-star review. That would be so great. It helps get the episodes out there to other people who may be wanting to learn God's word. Again, don't forget, guys, until next time, it is a crockpot faith, not a microwave. With God's word, discipleship, and patience, you too will be transformed for his good work. Grace and peace I leave with you until next time.